Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yep. It's a little both.
Yeah, Hannah, you'll be the first one.
I'm sorry, you were blurry.
I said you were the first one.
Yes. I figured that when I got the music.
Yeah, I hear you. What was the question I was going to ask you? Your email from Pasha Imor, did you think the stories were too long?
The story. See, I can't. You're really blurry. I don't know what you're saying.
I was asking about the emails, the one for Imor, where the story was very long. The story about Von Dahmer.
I'm like 2 weeks behind. It was just a busy time, and especially having that procedure, that knocked me out for a few days because I was just wanting to sleep all the time. But
understand.
My only criticism is for that is the colors, because I have to print them and read them somewhere along the way during the week, either if I'm, under the hair dryer or taking a break from cooking or whatever. And you just can't read it when you've got that dark blue. I just wish there was no color besides the expense when you do print them. And that's probably my only criticism. You do give us so much, we just can't get to all of it, But I think, somebody's getting to it, even if it's not me. I eventually get to it, but it takes me, it takes me a while. And I wasn't expecting the Israeli, coming to Lake Charles. And that was a surprise.
Right.
And, but that took a half a day. And, so it's surprising. But that's kind of what happens at my house anyway.
After studying with us, with the two of us for a while, for like I think 5-6 years now, I kind of understand that about your house.
It's good thing.
One suggestion I would make to you regarding the printing is that you can set your printer not to print the background color.
Well, I used to could do that. I used to know how, but with Windows 10, I can't find how to do it. how to take color away. I've tried. I probably could go in and just say black and white only. I probably could do that. With me, I love
that,
the module.
That would solve it.
Okay. Well, I'll try
good
that.
Good afternoon, Martha.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Good afternoon, Martha.
Good afternoon.
So please join me in saying the name of the poll. Good afternoon.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Zerira, Alephet Yemo Yitat Sadi. Kabelinat amcha sadvenu taharenu no rah. Sufrey Shayan Dintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshe Hud Ha Givavat Shamrem Nun Gimabalat Yutak Shin. Bahem Taharem Rakame Sikadha Tami Gamle Tetet Reish Sadita Gimel Hasim Kadosh Bero Tuha Nael Adata Tetufet Tet Nunayim. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei, that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the sign of Ashur, which is the Taurus, the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. Together, the Pei and the Vav have a gematria of 86, representing connection to the Hebrew, to the name of God, Elohim, a name dealing in the frame of judgment. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kidu Shata Yud Gimelamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufal Tadi Yitav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, Elachum Rechanun, Erech Apayim, Viral Chesed Ve'emet, Notzeh Chesed La'alafim, Notzeh Awon Wafesha, V'chatza'ah V'makim. We are now going to connect to the energy of certainty. And we do this by connecting to the Zohar, the Sulam commentary in Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and I'll start with the Lashem Yichud. Lashem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bichilu Erchimud Chilud Chilu Erchimu Leyakta Lashem Yud Hei Bavav Hei Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Vasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu Rabbi Abba Amar Deka Matar Tanenam Dekucha Berichu Koma de Avid, Leila Witata, Kola Idu, Kishot de Ovada, Dikshot, Leila Mila de Alma, Evae Barnash, the Dachia Leia, Minea Ulan Haga, Teia Tulana. Yehakulu Ovada Bikshot Inun Wikola Yitzderich Ki Alma. The year 5778 has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkavanon vayichal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer amnon el hamelech hatavo natamar achoti The second verse that connects to this energy of bowing to Hashem, to walk with Hashem, is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha la'oni lo kisiti amarti ode ale shai la'donai yohe wahe Viata nasata awon hatati selah. The year 5777 also has two verses. It connects to its energy, that of the goats, but also that of the wake-up call. The first verse that we study connecting to this energy is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzadimi katsipor oyevayichinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we are able to permute Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we have Bir Yam, which can be translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazer. The year 5776 also has two verses that connect to its energy, that of the pause. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat ulo ya'lu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'lehaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav v'hitkadesh Meha Kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are these names. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yo la yo wa la me hey 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 aka ah Lekacha. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Surolami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is that we study is from Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we will study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachadoiya asher yichabe sham moishavtem elai el nato vehalakti ichem vechayayim yeshno. Baretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alpe Yehuda. And the third is from Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzah yoved ro'av yom ru'ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami Yisrael untati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgas od v'lo yosipu v'nei avla le'anoto. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. And the method that we use is to say each letter out loud with its root vowel in sequence. Wahe, wayo, layo. Sayote alame mehe shira lahe aka aka heta ezayo alada ya awa heta yozalame behe eleyo hekome la awa kalayo la wawa pehela. Nulacha yo 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 me la he ke ke wa nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo ke wa la he he ko ka wa ko me nu da anu yo ke a me. Hey, hey, ah, yo, yo, za. Hey, 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 me, yo, ha. Wa, wa, la, yo, la, hey. Sa, a, la, a, we, yo. A, shi, la, me, yo, hey. Wa, hey, wa, da, nu, yo. Hey, hey, shi, a, me, me. Nu, nu, wa, nu, yo, ta, me, be, hey, pe, yo. Pe, wa, yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo ta me be me nu ko me a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim utilizing this same technique. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be ke a me me be shi la yo hey anu la ta me da he he yo anu da la he wa he me ya yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ta be yo la yo wa he mi la nu me fa yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi ya yo le ta shi ya he re la yo wa wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ta a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he ta a la a re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu he a nu a ta me la he be a yo nu ko me yo le la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo wa he be me ka to a la a he he wa we la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Sadikim who left this 21st day of the Iyar, which started last night, is Rabbi Yitzhak Elvig Segal, and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef HaKohen Rabinowitz, the Sadikim who would leave this evening, the 22nd day of Iyar, Rabbi Shlomo Eliezer Alfandri, Rabbi Mordechai Shraga Feidish Friedman of Huzitan, Huzitan. Today's class, excuse me, the last verse, the eighth verse of the Anabakoth, we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the unique astrological links or times. The link is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom if you're using a mobile device. When you open up that link of the unique astrological times, scroll down to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The link above Rosh Chodesh Sivan is going to be speaking about the Rainbow Day and Jerusalem Day, which are happening within the week, essentially, as we will explain. When you open up the link, this is where we will begin our class today. Before we begin, are there any questions? Rainbow Day. On the 27th day of the second month, which is the month of Iyar, Noah, his family, and all the animals that were with them left the ark. Exactly one lunar day, year, and 10 days before, one complete solar year, the flood began on the 17th of the second month, the day before Lag BaOmer. Now, this raises a question. We know that the flood started in Cheshvan, not Iyar. So how do we reconcile that? And the reconciliation is when you calculate the length of the flood And then the receding of the waters, it brings it back to the month of Iyar, or it brings it forward to a year plus to the month of Iyar. Continuing to read, when Noah, the animals, and the family, the three families, went out from the ark, Hashem made a covenant with all the animals and the people that there would never be again a flood of water to destroy the life on earth. Rainbow Day is always the 42nd day of the Omer, the day after Yom Yerushalayim. Other days connected the rainbow covenant, including Shabbat Noah and the Shabbat Bechar. Why is the rainbow covenant important? This message comes from a website called Jewcology. The site relates Jews and ecology. It has its own agenda, which may or may not be valid in the Kabbalah. I will let you decide. The Rainbow Covenant is a time to celebrate the diversity of life on earth and to remember our role in God's covenant with all of creation. It is a time to remember that the first covenant was not with human beings, but with all living creatures. It is a chance to reflect on the deep spiritual and religious meaning of diversity, creation, and our role as part of creation, and our role as partners with Hashem. What is the message of the Rainbow Covenant? The Torah teaches that Hashem has promised never to flood the earth again. But that doesn't mean humanity can't flood the earth and harm life. We live in a time with many species have gone. We live in a time when many species have gone extinct or are threatened with extinction. Our civilization is using so much of the world's land and resources that we don't always leave room for the other creatures. And the climate is changing. As the African-American spiritual goes, God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire next time. The story of Noah and the flood teaches us that we have a responsibility to care for all of creation and all of the creatures, and that caring for all species is a mark of righteousness. The rainbow teaches about the unity of all life. This is an essay by a sage of the 18th century, or the 19th century, 1800s, Rabbi Shimon Raphael Hirsch. He is truly a remarkable writer. For is the rainbow anything else but the one pure, complete ray of light broken up into 7 degrees of 7 colors, from the red rays nearest to the white to the violet, most distant from the white, losing itself into the darkness, and from the one to the other, are they not all rays of light? And combined all together, do they not form the one complete, pure, white ray? Could not this perhaps be meant to say the whole manifold variety of all living creatures, from the most alive, Adam, or to Adam the red one, man, nearest to the godly, down to the lowest, humblest form of life in the humblest worm? Every living soul that is in all flesh, God unites them all together in one common bond of peace. All fragments of one life, all refracted rays of the one spirit of Hashem, that even the lowest, darkest, most distant one is still a child of the light. Rabbi Hirsch's interpretation in his commentary on Parashat Noah is that the colors of the rainbow symbolize the diversity of all living things on earth. His understanding of color may differ from ours, and we may have different ideas about the hierarchy of being. Ecologically speaking, the world needs fungus far more than human beings for life to continue. One very interesting quirk of this teaching in Jewish lore, the color Tehelet is considered closest to Hashem. As the Midrash says, Tehelet resembles the sea resembles the sky, and the sky resembles Hashem's throne of glory. So if we go by this model and accept Rabbi Hirsch's identification of Tehelet with violet, the red one would be further from the divine light. One way of reconciling this derives from a teaching of Kabbalah. What is lower in this world descends from a higher place in the spiritual worlds. And here is another thought from Rabbi Hirsch about the rainbow. Its appearance is that of an arc joining the earth to heaven. Accordingly, a bond between heaven and earth. The phenomena itself is woven of sunlight and water. In the midst of overcast threatening clouds, it announces the presence of light and is accordingly a reminder that in the past and in the midst of Hashem's threatened wrath, his preserving grace is still there, still here. Jerusalem Day. I should ask if there's any questions about Rainbow Day. Jerusalem Day. This year, Jerusalem Day, well, this was last year, but it's coming approximately 10 days from today, being the 21st. And the 28th, so it's actually a week away. Jerusalem Day is the 48th, or this year will be the 49th Jerusalem Day. Jerusalem Day is celebrated as a historical event. This is the day that Jerusalem was reunited during the Six-Day War of 67. This day is the 28th day of Iyar in the Hebrew calendar and is also the 43rd day of the Omer. 43 is Mag, Mem Gimel, in Hebrew. Mag translates as to dissolve. That is what happened in 1967. The Klipah, the negativity, was dissolved, allowing for the reunification of the city of David. That is why the Kabbalists celebrate this day as an energy day that indicates the process of eliminating the Klipah. The negative shells have concealed the light from anyone else. Let's look at the historical background, even though Kabbalah does not really relate to history. Well, that's not true. Kabbalah sees history as a veil that conceals Hashem. After Israel declared its independence in 1948, it was attacked by the neighboring Arab countries, resulting in the Arab-Israeli War. At the end of this war, the city of Jerusalem was divided. Israeli forces controlled most of the city and East Jerusalem, including the Old City, was controlled by the Jordanian forces. Field fitting was important for strategic, but also for religious reasons, as many sites of religious importance are in this part of the city. These include the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Temple Mount and the Western Wall, or the Kotel, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is a Christian holy site. On June 7th, in 1967, 1 day into the Six-Day War, Israeli forces captured the old city of Jerusalem. This resulted in the reunification of Jerusalem as part of Israel. According to the Hebrew calendar, it was the 28th day of the month of Iyar in the year 5727, and the anniversary of this date is known as Yom Yerushalayim, or Jerusalem Day. Please note, the number 28 is the gematria of the Hebrew word koach, which means strength or power. In 1967, there was an attempt to keep Jordan out of the war. The Israelis were communicating, "We don't want to fight you," but the Jordanians didn't hear, didn't listen. The result? They lost the city, as well as the West Bank. Continuing to read, the meaning of the name Jerusalem. Yerushalayim is composed of two Hebrew words. One is Yeru or Yirah, which means fear or awe. The other is Shalem, which means complete or peace. The meaning of this name is complete awe. The Kabbalists teach that Jerusalem is the energy center of the world. They teach that all of the Shefa from Hashem flows through Jerusalem and then out to other lands and countries. Let's quote and read what Wikipedia has to say. Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, is the most recent addition to the Hebrew calendar. It is celebrated on the 28th day of Iyar, 6 weeks after the Passover Seder, 1 week before the Eve of Shavuot. Although Jerusalem has been considered the capital city of the Jewish people since the time of King David, who conquered it and built it as the seat of his monarchy in approximately the year 1000 before the Common Era, there has never been a special day in honor of the city until the Israeli army took over the ancient eastern part of the city on the third day of the Six-Day War in June 1967. There seems to be a conflict between the earlier discussion being the first day of the war and the third day of the war. And it's just talking about the difference between the start of that battle and the completion of that battle. Shortly after the Six-Day War, a municipal unification of the two sections of the city took place, ending 19 years of separation between predominantly Arab and Jewish suburbs of Jerusalem following the War of Independence in 1948. And I would just like to explain, the number 19 is very significant as it relates to a full cycle of 19 Hebrew years. Because there are 19 Hebrew years in that cycle. Where we now kind of return back or go forward to the number, to the new cycle of 19 calendar years. The number 19 represents the unity of male and female. This is because when Eve was taken from within Adam, Adam, the male, lost his tenth sephirah, the malchut, which is the female. While the female has ten sephirah in a completed form, the 9 plus 10 is 19. And that's why the Hebrew calendar has a 19-year cycle. I'm continuing to read where it says a young holiday. Due to the young age of this holiday, there is still not much which makes it unique in terms of customs and traditions. It is gradually becoming a pilgrimage day when thousands of Israelis travel. Some hike to Jerusalem to demonstrate solidarity with the city. This show of solidarity is of special importance to the state of Israel, since the international community has never approved the reunification of the city under Israeli sovereignty. And many countries have not recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state. Although that has been changed this year under President Trump's direction to move the embassy that is in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. In the 70th year celebration of the independence of the modern state of Israel. The Israeli education system devotes the week preceding this day to enhancing the knowledge of the history and the geography of the city with a special emphasis on the unique role that it played in Jewish messianic aspirations since the biblical times. Reciting Hallel. The status of Yom Yerushalayim in Jewish religious life seems more ambiguous than the religious status of Yom HaAtzmaut, the Independence Day. Following the model of Yom HaAtzmaut, the chief rabbinate of Israel has decided that this day should also be marked with the recital of the Hallel, the 10 Psalms of Praise, and with the lengthier version of the Pesukei DeZimra, the Psalms that are sung in the earlier part of the morning service. It is quite clear that the religious Jews, the Orthodox sects that are considered ultra-Orthodox, whatever that means, in Israel and abroad have not accepted Yom Yerushalayim, but it is not clear how many Orthodox Jews actually chant the Hallel Psalms on this day. Israel's progressive prayer book, the Reform Prayer Book, notes that Hallel should be recited on Yom Yerushalayim, but not so the conservative, the Masorti Prayer Book, which does suggest a list of supplemental readings for this day. The American conservative Siddur, Sim Shalom, mentions that Hallel is recited in some congregations on Yom Yerushalayim. The ambiguity of the religious status of this holiday is reflected in celebrations or lack thereof outside of Israel. While the city of Jerusalem has significant meaning for all Jews, Yom Yerushalayim has yet to obtain the popularity of Yom HaAtzmaut and is not observed extensively outside of Israel. In addition, unlike Yom HaAtzmaut, which is a day to celebrate the existence and successes of the modern Jewish state, Yom Yerushalayim can make some politically liberal Jews outside of Israel uncomfortable due to the continuing conflicts over the future of the city. Even some Jews who believe that the city should remain undivided and under Israel's control choose not to emphasize Yom Yerushalayim as a day of joy because of the deeply emotional, violent, and controversial state of affairs surrounding the Arab portions of Jerusalem. Others, however, believe that despite the current political conflicts, an undivided Jerusalem is something to be celebrated openly and unhesitatingly. A sign like Yom HaAtzmaut of Jewish political independence. A common citation of Yom Yerushalayim celebrations in Israel is the quote from the Psalms, "Ir shehuvrah la yadei," a city that is a compact together, or a city uniting all. This translation is probably influenced by a rabbinic midrash on this verse, which interpreted the phrase to reflect events in rabbinic times. In using the citation today, a modern midrash has been built on the rabbinic interpretation. The course which Yom Yerushalayim will take in future decades will be influenced undoubtedly by the political developments which will determine the status of the city in the future times. Asisa, which is a speech based on Torah. You shall be called my delight. And this was a sikha given by Harav Yehuda Amital. It was translated by Karen Fish. The 28th of Iyar has come to be known as Yom Yerushalayim, but in the Tanakh, this appellation appears in the context of the destruction. Remember, O Lord, unto the children of Edom, the day of Jewish Yerushalayim, when they said, raise it to its very foundations. Perhaps, therefore, it would have been more appropriate to call the city Yom Tetziva. For Zion's sake, I shall not be still, and for Jerusalem's sake, I shall not be silent, until her righteousness emerges like radiance, and its salvation like a burning torch. You shall no more be called forsaken, and your land shall no longer be called desolate. Rather, you shall be called my delight. Chetziva, and your land espoused. For God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. A verse from Isaiah. Although a great distance shall remain, it remains to be covered. The temple has not yet been rebuilt, and we are far from the Jerusalem described in the prophecy. The return of Jewish sovereignty to Jerusalem after 2,000 years of foreign rule still represents something of the promise of Chetziva. Sorry for the interruption. The manner in which Jerusalem was liberated likewise points in the direction of Hetzibah. Rab Unterman, the chief rabbi at the time, hesitated to institute the blessing preceding Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. But for Yom Yerushalayim, which celebrates the miracles of the Six-Day War, he instructed that Hallel should be recited with its blessing. On Yom HaAtzmaut, Am Yisrael emerged from slavery to freedom. On Yom Yerushalayim, we emerge from death to life. Even the nations of the world drew parallels between biblical prophecies and the events of the Six-Day War, when the very stars of the heavens fought on our behalf. We went to war because of Sharm el-Sheikh, but our victory in the Sinai was dwarfed by the liberation of Jerusalem. We recite Hallel over the wondrous salvation and victory of the war, but the significance of the war is Jerusalem. And it shall be when all these things befall you, the blessing and the curse which I have placed before you, then you shall take it to heart. We must observe the ways of God and internalize their message. Seemingly natural historical events, and certainly supernatural historical events, represent God's communication with the people of Israel. This language has its own codes, just as in the written law there is a pardes, a peshat, a remes, a drash, and a sod, the different levels on which the text may be interpreted and understood. There are similarly different types of miracles involved in the events that Hashem brings about. Some are overt and manifest, like the splitting of the Red Sea, the Yam Suf. No one can miss them. Of these we may say, how great are your deeds, Hashem. Others are hidden, like the miracles of Megillat Esther. It requires a certain level of faith and insight to perceive the divine machinations that were at work from the very start. Throughout all the developments and up until the salvation at the end, of these miracles we may say, your thoughts are exceedingly deep. Of course, referring to Hashem's thoughts. All of these, however, may be regarded as the written law. All of these miracles came from Hashem. At the same time, there is an oral law, the sphere of joint activity between Hashem and the people of Israel. From the time of the destruction of the temple until the establishment of the state of Israel, Jewish history under divine providence was conducted as the written law. Since the state of Israel was established, the miracles and wonders that we have witnessed in Eretz Yisrael are manifestations of the oral law. Divine providence provides the possibility and the timing, while Am Yisrael fights and actualizes the establishment of the state, marked the end of the approach of King Hezekiah. I sleep upon my bed while you carry out. Henceforth, so long as we do not yet merit having the divine presence in our midst and the rebuilding of the temple, the miracle in Israel are oral laws, and Am Israel is entrusted with a huge responsibility. It was discovered after the Six-Day War that the IDF leadership had predicted the duration of the war and the victory with great accuracy. They had also estimated the number of IDF casualties. Am Yisrael narrated that the general staff plan was God's plan. God took care of the timing, and he prevented the failure. This is true of the victory against Egypt and Syria, but the liberation of Jerusalem was a manifestation of the written law. There had been no operative plans for conquest of the city, and calming messages had been conveyed to Jordan. Nevertheless, Jerusalem became part of the war. You shall be called my delight, Tetziva, and your land espoused, for God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. The Gemara teaches that Jerusalem was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. What does this mean? Is it possible that had it not been for the unfortunate mistake of the servant who invited Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa to the feast, the destruction would have been averted? Obviously not. The divine decree had already been sealed, but divine providence produced a demonstration that symbolized and reflected the reasons for what happened later. What was exposed at that time was an instance of senseless hatred. This is an unwritten commentary. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is a story in the Talmud relating how two very wealthy men, one whose daughter was being married, but who were business antagonists, and there seemed to be great conflict between the two businessmen. The father of the bride refused to invite the other businessmen, and yet he found himself being invited. And then he was publicly humiliated when he was asked to leave. And there's a long extension of this story. It's probably not long enough because there's many lessons to be learned from it. But that is what is being discussed by the rabbi as he is explaining how Jerusalem is reunited during this event, during this period. In effect, healing the separation that was created by the antagonism, the hatred for no reason between the two men. Continuing to read. In the period of Israel's rebirth, God exposed an image, the image of Israeli paratroopers weeping at the Western Wall. Secular people, kibbutz members, this was the picture of the great longing of secular Jews cut off from their religious roots. This image carries a profound message concerning the religious consciousness of all of Am Yisrael. In the depths of its heart, in the deepest recesses of its soul, the people of Israel are connected to Hashem. It was out of this national unity that Jerusalem was liberated. That's the end of our class for today. Does anyone have any questions? While I'm waiting for you to unmute, we will talk about the classes for today and upcoming events, which are quite significant. Today at 3 o'clock, West Coast time, we will have a class in advanced reincarnation. At 7 o'clock this evening, we will, as a community, count the Omer. Last night, we counted the 36th day of the Omer. Monday at 4:30, we will have an advanced class, a deep class in studying the Zohar from the Parashah of Noah. at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, we will be continuing our study of Shai Kedusha, The Gates of Holiness, by the Ali and his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. In 2 weeks from last night, we will have a study for Shavuot. Actually, that's not correct. We have the holiday of Shavuot happening 2 weeks from last night. As the holiday, I'm striving not to be connecting to the electronic devices. So when can we prepare? And we will prepare a week before, meaning a week from today will be the start of our preparation. And during that week, which is essentially from the 13th to the 18th, we will prepare for Shavuot on many levels. I hope you'll join us for our nightly 7 o'clock classes. Are there any questions? I bid you all shalom, a good week, Shavuot Tov, and shalom gadol, a much significant amount of peace and serenity in your lives. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you all.